Let us pray. Father,
yeah.
We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. Because you live. And because of that, I can face tomorrow. Lord, I come before your humble servant at this time, asking for your help to preach this, your message, to these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 There are certain times of the year where we don't really have to guess very hard where the message is coming from. And this is one of those events. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're coming from Matthew chapter 28. And as you look forward, just to recount what's gone on in the last few days, Jesus has met with his disciples as they approached Jerusalem during the Passover season. He has had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He has been taken away and questioned by the officials. He has been beaten and he has been hung on the cross. But the good news is that he died on the cross for our sins. And the better news is that death could not take hold of him. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They put him in a borrowed tomb and they sealed the door. The Jews were afraid that his disciples might come and take him away. So they asked the governor to put a watch over the tomb.
That's right.
So they rolled the door and they put a seal and they had the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb of Jesus. But in spite of all that, it could still not hold Jesus. So as we look at the 28th chapter of Matthew, the topic is the resurrection of Jesus. And in that first verse, it says, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. The sepulcher was the area where he, Jesus Christ, was laid. It was the area that a man named Joseph, who owned the sepulcher, said, let us put Jesus. It'd be my honor to have Jesus lay in state for a few days here. The women were coming to dress the body for a proper burial. The women who were disciples of Jesus Christ were now getting ready to prepare the body for the end and the burial. But as they came to see it, something happened. And we can see this from several viewpoints in the scriptures. You can see it in Mark chapter 16. You can see it in John chapter 20. You can see it in Luke chapter 24. We know that angels came down from heaven. Verse 2, and behold, there came a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. The stone was rolled away. During an earthquake, when the angel came down, but the women had come to prepare Jesus for his burial. But here comes an angel rolling the stone from the door. The question is, why was the stone rolled away? It was not rolled away for Jesus to get out, because he was already gone. But it was rolled away to allow them to look in and witness the empty tomb. Roll the stone from the door. And in verse 3 it says, his countenance was like lightning. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. His clothes were white like snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. Who are these keepers? These keepers are the Roman soldiers who were assigned to watch the area, who were assigned to make sure that nobody came and rolled the stone away and took the take the body of Jesus. But it says, because of the angel, fear came upon the keepers, the Roman soldiers. They shook. Roman soldiers were battle-hardened men. They had been through a lot. They had seen a lot. And to receive a special detail like this meant that they were ready for the job. But no matter how ready you think you are for the job, no matter how many battles you've been through, when the Lord works, you can't stand still. Amen? It said that they shook and became as dead men. They fainted, y'all. They became as dead men. Here were these soldiers who had been through battle, who had looked death straight in the eye, and then they shake and faint. And in verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He is not here, for he is risen. I have a few points I want to lift up today. And the very first point is that the resurrection came as an unexpected miracle. The resurrection came as an unexpected miracle. These women came to prepare for a funeral, but they ended up participating in a praise party. Amen? There are times in our life where we write the script. When bad news comes our way and we prepare for a funeral, where God is saying you need to prepare to praise. Because there are some things that you do not understand and appreciate. Here were these women, even though Jesus had told them this was going to happen, they were still preparing for his burial. Yes, but the angel said, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. This same account in Luke chapter 24, the angel asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? See, Jesus had told them over and over again that he was going to leave, he was going to die, and he was going to be risen from the dead. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus told his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day.
That's right.
In Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 22. Now when they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. And they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Come see the place where the Lord lay. The good news is the Lord wasn't in the place anymore. The place was just a place as it was before. They looked in and saw where the Lord lay. In John chapter 20, in this version of the account, later on it talks about Peter going into the cave. John 20 verse 6, Peter goes to the cave and sees the grave clothes and the linen still wrapped in the spices. He went in and still saw the form of a man wrapped up, but there was nothing inside of the grave clothes. This indicates that Jesus was not stolen, but he transcended through the grave clothes and left them behind as a testimony of the miracle that had just occurred. Instead of a pity party, there was a celebration in the cemetery. But you know that Jesus was no longer there. Jesus was no longer there. Where was Jesus? Did the enemies steal the body? If they had, they would have presented it to the disciples to silence them. Did his friends steal the body? Why would they risk their lives to keep a lie going if it was a lie? They did not believe that he had risen from the dead at this point. Jesus was no longer in the grave clothes. As the angel told the ladies who came to prepare for the burial. And in verse 7 of Matthew 28, he said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him, and lo, I have told you." When we hear good news, we need to tell somebody else the good news. We need to tell somebody else about Jesus who has risen from the dead. We need to tell somebody else about the angel that came down and rolled the door away. We need to tell somebody about the fearfulness in the soldiers who fainted at the sight of this occurrence. We need to tell somebody that the grave clothes were still there in the form of a man, but Jesus was nowhere to be found. We need to tell somebody. And in verse 9, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail or rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." Here are these women. It is interesting. They were the last ones hanging around the cross. And they were the first ones to the tomb. And then they were the first ones to see Jesus Christ. Something about when we're working, things happen. Amen. We're working, things happen. So they saw Jesus and they fell down They fell down and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Go in to Galilee. Jesus instructed his disciples to go to Galilee. Galilee is approximately 60 to 70 miles away. Go to Galilee. Go to Galilee, and I will meet you there. The resurrection was a miracle, an unexpected miracle for those who believed in Jesus. But because Jesus was no longer in the grave, this is my second point, it created an unnecessary conspiracy. Amen?
Yeah.
Whenever you got something good happen, there's always somebody else who wants to share an alternate reality. Amen? The resurrection created an unnecessary conspiracy. Let us look on in verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, these are the Roman soldiers who were set to watch over the area where Jesus was laid. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. So here these soldiers who had fainted. Here are these soldiers who were scared. They came to the priest and they showed them that the Roman seal that had been put across the door had been broken. They told them that the stone was rolled away. They told them that the body was gone. Now it is interesting that these Roman soldiers did not go to their superior officers. It is interesting that they did not go to the Pilate, the governor of the area. And there is a reason why. Because, says Roman soldiers, if you lose somebody that you're in charge of, that you have captive, then you pay for it with your own life. So instead of going to their superior officers and writing a report, they went to the ones that had a vested interest in making sure that Jesus did not rise from the dead. They went to the chief priests. They went to the same ones who had Jesus crucified. And in verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They said, let us compensate you for your troubles. Let us give you something in return. And in verse 13, saying, say ye, this is what you say. This is what you say. Okay, let's put our heads together and figure this out. We know what happened. Well, what are we going to tell the public? There was no sense of transparency among the elders and the chief priests. They said, look at here, let's say this. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. How does that sound? Yeah, that sounds good. His disciples came in the middle of the night and took him away while we slept. When you don't want to believe the truth, you can create something that sounds kind of good to some people. And they went on to say in verse 14, and if this comes to the governor's ears, if Pilate hears about this, we will intervene and we will persuade him and secure you. So I'm glad you came to us first. Because you've given us time to figure this out. You've given us time to write a new script. Yes, yes. You've given us time to call our PR people. You've given us time to look at all the options. You've given us time that we have to frame this in a way to make it seem like Jesus did not rise from the dead. So in verse 15, here are these Roman soldiers. They took the money and they did as they were taught. They told the story about them falling asleep. They told the story about disciples sneaking up by night. They told the story about the disciples rolling away the stone and taking the body of Jesus. And it says in this saying, is commonly reported among Jews unto this day. Why is it easier sometimes to believe a lie than the truth? The resurrection is a historical fact. It is not just a faith fact, but it is a historical fact. Those who want to say it did not happen must offer proof that it did not happen. But I want to share some proofs about the resurrection right now to defeat the conspiracy that happened. Number one, eyewitnesses saw the risen Savior. Eyewitnesses saw the risen Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul even says that at one time 500 people saw him at the same time. You know what? You might be able to fool some of the people some of the time. But I don't know anybody who can fool all the people all the time. In his introduction in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church in this letter. And the third verse, he says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have died. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." Think about it. Paul, the one who tried to persecute the Christians. Here is Saul, who is now Paul, who is saying, "I even saw the resurrected Lord on my way to Damascus." The eyewitness. You know, you can go to court with an eyewitness. And the eyewitness, their account might hold greater proof than anything else you have. So there were eyewitnesses who saw the risen Savior. Number two, let's look at the change in the believers. A few days earlier, before the resurrection, they were discouraged. They were defeated. But now they walk in joy. Now they walk in victory. What could have changed in Peter's life to make him scared to admit that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, to going on to preaching one of the greatest sermons ever preached in Acts chapter 2? I dare say it's only the resurrected Jesus Christ who could do that to a person. Look at Paul's conversion. Paul, who was an educated man, who was a wise man, who was a Pharisee, had the best education. But yet, in spite of that, Jesus came to him and he had to admit, "You are Lord." For us today, the existence of the New Testament and the continuation of the church today as it was back then is proof of the resurrection. But the best proof of the resurrection is the change that has gone on in your life and my life. The change that once we accepted Jesus Christ, the peace we had and have today is proof of the resurrection. Even today, you will hear about the conspiracies. Even today, you will hear the skeptics talk about their beliefs. But there is proof in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So whenever you have an unexpected miracle, my friend, don't be surprised if somebody comes up with a conspiracy of how it happened. It wasn't really a miracle. We have a conspiracy for that. We can explain that. Science can explain that. Sometimes you just have to say, Lord, you're able. We might not even have words to explain what happened and how it happened. Right. Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's all you need.
Explanation is not needed.
Yeah.
Just thank you, Jesus. But the third point is the resurrection also certified Jesus' unlimited mandate. Certified Jesus' unlimited mandate. He was not there just to teach a bunch of disciples. He did not come just to do a miracle or many miracles, but he came to save us, and his power is unlimited.
Yeah.
Look at verse 16, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I don't care how authentic Jesus is, there are still going to be doubters, okay?
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if people doubt Jesus Christ. Don't lose sleep when people doubt Jesus Christ. They doubted him then when they could see him. They surely doubt him now. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, check this out. They are in Galilee. They are in a mountain where Jesus told them to meet. And here he is saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Y'all remember when Jesus was fasting in Matthew chapter 4? Y'all remember when Satan took Jesus to the top of the mountain and Satan told him and promised him all the kingdoms of the world? You know, Jesus did not need Satan's kingdoms because he had the power of the Father. Amen? People will make things look good for us. When you have the power of the Father, that is good enough. We will get what God wants us to have through his power and not through the devious power of anybody else. Verse 19, go ye therefore, now that you've seen me, now that you know that I am alive, now that the Holy Ghost is coming unto you, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He's given them their orders. I want you to go. I want you to go to places where I send you. I want you to teach everybody about Jesus Christ. If they asked you why you're so calm, tell them about Jesus Christ. If they asked you why you have faith in the midst of a disappointing appointment from the doctor, Sister DeBerry, tell them you have faith in Jesus Christ. If they tell you to sit down, Brother Andre, tell them that you have faith in Jesus Christ. Tell them he's been too good to you to not say anything about him. Tell them that he's been too kind to you. Tell them that he's the one who healed you. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Teach everybody about Jesus Christ. And some will come to accept Christ, but others won't. Baptize those who accept Christ. Baptize them into the family of Christ, the family that we belong to based on our confession and our belief. And in verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things Whatsoever I have commanded you, teach them. Teach them. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have Sunday school. Yeah. That's why we have teaching opportunities. Because I just don't want you to hear it from me, but I want you to learn it for yourself. This is too important to be spoon-fed. You see, when we were children, we were spoon-fed. Amen? When we were children, they gave us what they wanted us to have. But when we got a little bit older, y'all remember the first time? Well, no, we don't remember the first time we picked up a spoon. Because many of us were way too young. But I dare say more ended up on the plate, on the floor, and on the table than ended up in our mouths. But you know what? Our parents knew that they had to let us try, because that was the only way that we would get better at being fed. We'd have to feed ourselves. My brothers and sisters, an important part of our faith is knowing what God said, knowing what God did, and knowing what God is going to do. Y'all remember the bracelets, WWJD? Yeah. What would Jesus do? I used to tell people, how would you know what he would do if you don't know what he did? We got to learn about what Jesus did if we're going to act according to Christ when we get into troubling situations. Y'all remember David? David was the one who had to hide away in the hills from Saul. David was the one who had to be separated from the temple for a long time. He had to be separated from his family for a long time. But David was the one who said, I have hid the word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee anymore. Do you have the word in your heart today? Do you know word, or do you have to ask somebody else about the word of God? We're here to teach you about the word of God. Teach you about Jesus Christ. Teach you about the one who reached back long ago and redeemed you to a position at the table with the Lord. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I like this part. Always like to end on a good note. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus started out with us. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Even in the last time the disciples see Jesus before he rose to the Father, he is still telling them, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's the good news of the resurrection. That Jesus is alive. That Jesus is with us. That Jesus is still reaching and teaching and securing people for the kingdom. Therefore, we can celebrate today. Just like the women who were preparing for a funeral are now having a praise party, because Jesus, he is risen from the dead. Whatever your reality of the resurrection is, whatever your reality is, rest assured that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. And that God raised him from the dead for us. Rest assured that he is still alive. As our hymn said earlier, he lives. Guess what? He lives. He lives inside of me. So you ask me how I know he lives. He lives inside of me. The ransom was so high, only Jesus could pay the cost. God bless you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reality. It came as an unexpected miracle to his disciples, and it caused an unnecessary conspiracy, but it also certified and confirmed the unlimited mandate of the power of Jesus Christ. Power so mighty that it's still good today.
today.